We absolutely are so honored to have so many amazing guests come on our show.
Amazing guests.
Yeah, amazing guests.
Like who? Like who?
Like people that look like a little bit like this.
Show it real quick. Bam. So now this picture means so much to me. When I look at this, I look at a bunch of solutionaries that are just changing the way this business is looked at. These are people who are fighting to take down these stigmas of bad car guys out there just treating people like non-humans, just looking at them as dollar signs instead of as humans and people that need to have empathy, that need to be, their story needs to be heard. When they're buying a car, you got to really give them what they need, right? And a lot of people are out there just worried about the dollars. And these people here, every one of these people, I promise you, do really well. But that's not because they're looking for the money. It's because they're doing the right thing every single day. It's called integrity. And absolutely what we are all about. That's my number one core value.
But it's true. So clapping through all their solution
over here. It really is.
Has honored us
very much
by spending a moment of their time, an hour of their time, maybe some 5 hours of their time on
yeah,
one
no
recording.
Doubt.
But brother, happy Brewversary.
Happy Brewversary.
Love you, man.
Love you too, bro.
Wouldn't want to do this with anybody else, but we're so blessed to be able to do it with all of these. And I'm so thankful that just a couple of car guys having a caffeinated conversation turned into what it is today. And ultimately, what we want it to be is contagiously confident, upshifting, and uplifting so that new solutionaries can rise. Coming along
with that,
let's talk about what the solutionary's
been doing this for a minute. Not just in the car business or in any type of business. He has been doing podcasting for a very, very long time now.
When it comes
to the podcasting world, because a lot of people, I've seen it, they start a podcast, they disappear. They do it for a little while. They might put an episode that, like, once here, once there. They're not really consistent. Well, this guy is the definition
he's
of consistency.
Not that. Yeah.
He's absolutely
not
the complete
things.
Opposite of that. His podcast is called The Dealer Playbook. I love that name. What a cool name for that, because that's exactly what dealers need. It's almost like they're coaches, and a lot of people don't realize what they are. When you're a leader, you're a coach. You're coaching your team. You're teaching them a culture of life. You know, you don't just say, hey, sell cars. You say, hey, are you good at home? Are you good here? What's going on? Why do you, one thing that I've really worked on over the last handful of years, especially with my team, is I've learned to ask them. When you see them down, don't just ignore. Ask them what's down, because maybe there's something deeper than you could ever imagine that's going on in their lives. And when you can actually go in there and ask that question, which most people don't, it changes the whole culture. It changes the way they think of you, the way they think of that job, the way they think of everything. So be a person who actually has empathy for your team also. So make sure you do that, because Michael Cirillo is absolutely the definition of this. When he talks about culture, that's what he's going to tell you, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation because I tell you, it's second to none, and he's very passionate about it. And we had a little conversation before this.
Little conversation, and man, I can't wait to get deeper in there. So without further ado, everybody, we have the one, the only, the incredible Michael Cirillo jumping inside.
Dude, I was sitting, I was like air drum, I was like, bing. hey, what's going on?
I appreciate that. What's going on, my friend?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, hey, happy Brewiversary.
Thanks,
appreciate
my friend.
It, brother.
We appreciate
you're speaking
that.
About consistency. I tell you what, man, like getting through that first year and being consistent has already set you apart from, let's call it 1.9 million other podcasters out there and shows. Like, it's crazy, dude, how just, you're right, like consistency just sets you ahead.
It's a key ingredient to a lot of things. You know, I think that there's enthusiasm's another one of those, integrity. You know, there's so many things that are really big deals to me, and consistency is definitely up at the top, because when you do anything consistent, it's good. Even if it's bad, at least be consistent about that. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, be consistently bad.
You know who you are, and that's what it's about.
That's a key piece of branding. I mean, period, is that you're getting the same product the same way. What you expect of the product is what you get from the product.
Absolutely.
And we've been trying to put out there that the product ultimately is a positive mental attitude in every situation, no matter what the storm is, no matter what the problem is. You need to be brewing solutions instead of percolating problems.
I agree.
And that is something that people want when they get their coffee, wherever it is that you get your favorite drink. And you want it to be the same way. When you get your favorite meal, and you expect it to be consistently good. And you know when it's off. You know when it's not right. Right. And sometimes you have to make the adjustment, but ultimately you still go back to trying to get what it was that was consistently good. And if you ever had the chance to jump inside of the cafe and get a smile from us, we're thankful for it. But you have deposited inside of this cafe methods, technology ideas, ways about what it is that we do that I cannot tell you or give you anything that can amount to how valuable it's been to have you be able to deposit in our lives. And we never had a conversation, a real human conversation, right? But because of you taking what it is that you're blessed with and you have the ability to help others with, you put it out there and didn't know where those seeds were going to land. And some of the fruit that you were sowing is right here, the Car Guy Coffee podcast, having you on it, right? You part of that culture now. And we're so thankful for that, Michael. I can't tell you how thankful we are for that.
Well, man, you're making me blush. You're too kind. You said a couple of key words that I think are really important, and they're words that need to be more broadly adopted, especially in the shark tank of the car business. You said blessings. Like, look, if you believe in blessings, then that means you believe in a higher power. And if you believe in a higher power, that means that you believe in the creator of the universe and all things that are in it, including us. And if that's the case, then that means we are all his children, and that means that we're brothers and sisters, which means that he equally wants to bless you as much as he wants to bless me. And so to sit here and be like, oh, no, because we have this attitude sometimes in the business, don't we, where it's like, oh, no, that's going to be my best kept secret. Bro, that's your blessing.
Yeah,
right. Let your blessing be somebody else's blessing. Yeah. So you're right. Like, I've never felt threatened by that philosophy. All of us can rise together. That's really the simplicity of the message.
You never want your gift to stop with you, right?
No.
I mean, today we're seeing history in the making, and that is only going to inspire other women, other people of color,
yes,
to be able to reach for different stars because of seeing one person rise. It's giving faith to many others, and ultimately, that's what we are. Just as much as we want to make sure that people get a message, we ultimately get to a point where we can't be hidden anymore. The word says, what good is a light hidden under a basket? You wouldn't take a light and hide it under a basket. No, you would put it onto a stand so that all can benefit from its light, right? And there's many different ways that translation would go in, but so that it can bring light to many, you put it onto a stand. And ultimately, you cannot hide that light, and you don't want to hide that light. And some people have hidden that light, and now it's starting to get exposed. Now people are starting to get the chance to be able to see that there's people like Michael that are out there that are saying good things inside of an industry and getting people to get past themselves in order to brew solutions and to find the success that they're seeking, and doing it sometimes seriously silly, but never taking ourselves too seriously, right? So
life's too short, man.
That we have,
you know, and I love what you're saying, because look, you know, I have a 7-year-old daughter. Regardless of my political beliefs, okay, I still have an example for my daughter to say, look who the vice president of the United States is. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like maybe look, for everybody watching, maybe I hate her guts and as a person, but remove that, there's still an example for my daughter.
That's right. 100%.
To say, look, there's a president of the United States, or there's a vice president of the United States. And for all the old fogey men, regardless of whether I like or voted for or didn't, I can still look at all the old men and say, look, there's still hope because another really old man became the president of the United States.
That's it. I love it.
That's so true. It's so true. You're right, and I love that you said that, Michael, because whether you have whatever political beliefs you have, whether you this or that, does not matter. Look at what just happened. We have women, all young children, especially the young ladies out there, the hope, what they get to have. They don't have to think, oh, is it possible? Now they know it is. So there's no, their world is never good. It's not the same. It's a different world for them now. Now it's like, I can be the president. I can be the vice president. I can't. It's not, well, maybe one day they'll have a woman in there. No, it happened. And it's a woman of different cultures. Another beautiful thing. So there's so many reasons why today is historic, not for necessarily for politics, but for hope for people. And I think that it's a great thing. And the more that we can do this in this world, the better. And just that small steps, which is actually a big step, but little steps every single day make a difference. You know, 1%.
Well, and it's the narrative that this industry needs to accept more broadly. Look, I have four sisters, no brothers. Growing up, my sisters were like, don't worry, Mikey. It's going to be okay. You're going to marry somebody, and she's going to have brothers. Then you're going to have brothers. We're going to marry people. Bro, the minute I got married, I went from four sisters to eight because my wife has four sisters, no brothers. But because I was raised in that environment, you know, look, to the wrong audience, maybe it sounds cheesy. It sounds cliche. I don't see gender. I don't see color. I don't see these things. Like, my parents are European immigrants. I see the hardships. I see that. All I can think about is, look, the senior leaders in my company are female. That wasn't on purpose, or I didn't do it because I was like, oh, I need to create a more diverse business. It's simply because I don't see that, like, that shouldn't even be an issue. So the fact that it's 2021, we're still having to fight for women to have a seat at the quote-unquote, whatever the table is that we've made, stupid. Stop being idiots. Like, if you were a talking rabbit and had aptitude, you would be sitting at my boardroom table. Like, it shouldn't be an issue this day and age, for crying out loud. So, but you're right. It's small steps. And so I pay tribute and respect the Carrie Wises and, you know, that whole Wokan. Like, I love Subi Ghosh, like all these individuals that are shifting the narrative, because while I'm sensitive to the fact that there are a bunch of stale old dudes controlling the narrative,
right,
I simply just want to add my voice to this subject matter and say, y'all need to stop being idiots.
Yes.
And period. Like, I don't think I have anything to add to that.
Yeah.
Race, color, religion, creed, ethnicity, I don't care. When you rip open our chests, it's all the same color.
I love it.
You know what I'm saying? We all have inspiring ideas. And, you know, I actually had a conversation kind of on this whole diversity and inclusion rant that I've now found myself on somehow. I had a conversation with Carrie Weiss. She's a VP at TrueCar. Mm-hmm. Incredible individual.
She's awesome.
You know, here's the thing. I loved that her and I could come together like a brother and sister, and she could share her reservations with me, the bald, pasty white dude who looks like Danny DeVito grew a beard, you know. And I could equally, and without feeling threatened, also be like, you know what? I don't even know if I can say the word black. And just like we were honest with each other, you know, like, and it was so unthreatening. We had such a productive, loving, inclusive conversation where it was not man versus woman. It was brother and sister sitting together, having a productive conversation about how to move things forward. And so in my opinion, you know, everybody in the dealership world, we want to talk about, what's the next tactic that's going to help me move more metal? Shut up.
I love it.
Be a good person. Stop being a dick.
Yes.
Be a good person. Give back. Think more about others than yourself. Like, you want a tactic? Wake up and express gratitude to your husband or wife and children for being the most amazing thing in your life. And then show up to the office and pick up the phone and start dialing, starting at A in your CRM, and call every freaking client and telling them how enriched you feel that they came into your life. And if you don't feel that way, well, guess what, dick face? You're going to have a hard haul moving through 2021 and beyond.
And you're so – he's hitting that right – the nail right on the head, folks. I mean, he is like slamming that one hit, bam, because that's so true. It seems forceful what he's saying, but it's not, folks. It's truth. It's facts. Listen, if you're not being that person, if you're not a well-rounded individual, it's gonna show really easily, because people have so much information right at their fingertips now. People can find out about you. If you're on social media, they'll know who you are. They already know it. Your clients are ready to check you out. Your employers that are hiring you, they're checking you out. Everybody is. So what I mean by that is that be you, but make sure that you not just worry about just work. Like, that's the other side. You know, he talked about his family, having gratitude mm-hmm. for them. So key. When you let one thing slide in your life, even though it seems like you're doing it here, your life is going to be off balance, off kilter, and it will all crash on you. Mm-hmm. You make sure that your wife knows that you love her. You make sure your wife knows how much you appreciate her, how much you miss her when you're at work. And when you have those moments, you give her those moments. Your kids, oh, they need those moments. We as car guys and car gals out there in this world, we work a lot of hours. We tend to sometimes think that because we work those hours, we don't have to hang out with our family. It's not true at all. Because you work the hours, you need to work to hang out with your family. Because your family.
You know why you feel the imbalance, man? You know why you feel the imbalance, Frederick? It's because you're only obsessed about one thing in your life, and that's bringing home the bacon. Dollar bills, dollar bills. That's all you're obsessed about that. You become panicked about that. So people are always asking. I mean, you've been in a lot of these rooms that I'm in, even on this new Clubhouse app. What are a lot of the questions? How do I find work-life balance? They're like Barney Fife from the Andy Griffith Show. Well, now what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. I've never had to unholster my pistol in Mayberry. You know, it's like they're panicked. Like, the reason you are concerned about work-life balance, in my opinion, in my context, is because you're not obsessed equally about all the facets of your life. Like, bro, I am as obsessed, maybe a little bit more about my family than I am about my career. So I have this equal obsession. That's how you create balance. It's not by, you know, some people go to their J-O-B, right? You've all seen this. You guys employ people. Like, they show up for the J-O-B, and what do? They sit there and twiddle their thumbs looking at because there's something else that they're more obsessed about. They want to get home and play Fortnite till 2 in the morning and fall asleep with Cheetos on their shirt. And you know, wonder why, you know, nobody likes them because they haven't been to the dentist in 14 years. It's like, no, you're not obsessed about this thing, and that creates imbalance, and everybody thinks you're useless because we've also placed this medal on job. Oh, no, if you don't work hard, then you're useless to society. No, maybe that individual just hasn't found what they're passionate for yet. And I'm not saying go on some soul-searching walk. Show up. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but when I started my company, you know how it goes. I was a designer. I was a salesperson. I was a tech support engineer. I was a manager. I was, you know, HR. There were things that definitely made me not want to show up that I hated. Had I continually thought about those things, I would have probably never been where I'm at. Like, my company wouldn't be what it is today. I had to get out of my own head and start finding joy in the journey. Joy in the process. And as I did that, I became more excited. I became just as obsessed about this as I was over here, wanting to have more home time and this and that. And in so doing, I found harmony between, you know, family, spirituality, work, to the degree now that I don't feel guilty if I have to block out this chunk of time for work and block out this chunk of time for family or, you know, go take my wife on a lunch date or something like that. It took me a long time to get there. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But that's why I speak through my context is we're only obsessed about one thing, and that's what's creating the imbalance.
Those are very wise words, and I couldn't agree more. You know, I preach the, you know, because of Tony Robbins, the will of life. You have to have a balanced will. I pick out about 5 things that are really important to me, and those things I'm always focused on every day, and I make sure that each one of those has their attention, because if I don't, it will be unbalanced will, and I don't want to have an unbalanced will. Because I can't grow when I'm unbalanced. I feel like there's always something on my mind. I get restless sleep. So I love that you talk about this because it is so true. And I know that through trial and tribulations that you've been through in your life, with your businesses, with yourself, everything, you've been able to formulate something really impressive. You know, with your company Flex Dealer, I think you're doing some amazing stuff. And what you're doing and how you know, I've read a little bio on you and stuff like that, and how you went through all this, you hiring these type of people, telling. If you know, assuming the resume was what they were and all those types of things, by going through that, figuring out the best way to hire and the best way to raise a team, you've been able to make Flex Dealer an amazing company. And I think you have a lot to be proud of, not just with business, but also with your family. From what I understand, we've talked to a lot of people, and you know, people always talk about how you're a great family man. Yeah. I hear that a lot. Sure. And Lou and I, we're big on family.
And that's what makes, that's what gravitates us.
So that's cool that you have that reputation. I mean, that's not something that you can make up. That's something that is real. When people say that, that's something that they found a value of you, that's huge and impressive, man. You are just a straight bar person that just loves his family and always makes sure that he takes care of that stuff. And I adore that about you, man. And I think that's something that we do also. We honor that type of stuff. And, you know, I know we've been rambling here for minutes.
No, it's been fun. I mean, yeah, ready to hit that.
Are we recording yet?
The things that you're saying, again, are just all fused in together with everybody that does know you, you're following, are following, the people that are in the industry that are trying to find solutions, knowing that there's people that are out there that are putting intent into the seeds that they're sowing into every aspect of their life. People if you are a person that enjoys life, it spills over into everything.
Yes.
It's hard to compartmentalize my enthusiasm. This year has been incredible for Car Guy Coffee, but the victories at my house have been massive, from
yes,
my son being committed to go to a college, to my putting on a prom for my daughter, to a daughter going to college, to a son in the Air Force now being promoted to a staff sergeant. So many huge things have happened inside of the Ramirez household that has nothing to do with what the public sees. Right. And that's what I've ultimately championed the most, and where the victories are inside of our life, because all of the work stuff or the fun hobbies or the things that we do ultimately just complement the part of us that is the core of our family. And if that cornerstone is in place, your relationship with the Father, and then you stack loving your wife as Christ loves the church, and she loves you in response to that, and you love your kids the way that you're supposed to love your kids, you ultimately teach them to do those things on the outside, and then you go live those things out. Again, having the accountability of children will make you step up a notch in what it is that you want to do, right? Inside of your business when you're helping other people out. So again, we're so thankful for the person that you are. Four sisters myself, I understand the deal. You know what I mean? And women have always been the champions inside of my life. We're mama's boys,
yeah,
right? And I mean, seriously, mama's boys. We've seen our mothers do some incredible things. That's why I've never once put a limitation on thinking that what happened today was even a possibility. I champion my daughters for the incredible women that they are, and want to make sure that all people know that whatever you actually want to do, get with the Father about what his ideas are for you first, and then go with everything that you have into trying to make this world a better place.
No doubt about it.
As we do.
I tell you, the best way to get that going, and the best way to do anything is to always apply to 3S, folks. And we haven't got to that yet. Let's do this right now. We need to apply this, because I'm feeling it right now.
Yes, yes.
Folks, we were talking about forgive, focus, fly. This is the best way to get yourself growing, and Luke, explain it.
So, folks, there's so many things that get into your way, whether it's somebody else or it's yourself, whether it's your victories that you can stand upon, and then a failure shows up and you carry that with you, and you don't go on to the next victory because it becomes a weight on your shoulder. Well, folks, that represents unforgiveness. So the first step inside of Forgive, Focus, Fly is to forgive. Go ahead and put your hands on your shoulders with me real quick.
Oh, man, here we go. Action items.
On three. One, two, three, forgive. And then once your hands are freed up, you can then focus. Get your hands right there. Block out the other distractions, and then you can fly and keep growing. There we go.
Love it. He's got it down. It's like a rock concert. Let's get it going.
Right. I was getting some WWE vibes. Dwayne.
Yeah. Flames.
Awesome.
So excited now. Let's go ahead and get on with this five liner. We'll get the message from our sponsors weaved into the mix.
Yeah, we'll weave it in there, but I really have to ask this first question, and I think I already know the answer to this, but it's just because I could tell what kind of heart this man has. I feel it, and I even feel it right now. We're not even next to him. We're just on camera. It's amazing what this world can do for us now. But we all have a purpose. We all wake up, and we there's something that drives us. It's a why. What is your why?
My why is, okay, so not to be all, like, sound all like preacher, because I'm not a preacher, but go with me for a second. The first great commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor, here's the part we forget about, as thyself. So here's my purpose. My purpose is to strive. I use that word very strategically. My purpose is to strive to improve my condition so that I can continually pour into others to help them improve their condition. That wasn't always the case. But you know what? A decade-long severe suicidal depression to snapping out of it and overcoming. You know, I look back at that time and I go, wow, God blessed me. He showed me grace. It's grace that he proffers us. Proffer is a really interesting old English kind of word. It's like proactively offering, almost like offering it to the degree that it's so close to you, you can't not accept it. right? So God's proffering us his grace. And who am I to judge my brother? So for me, as I make connections, I'm just super excited to see that twinkle in somebody else's eye, somebody that's just struggling. And guess what? Maybe like to your point, like maybe it's my children and you're never going to hear about it or see about it or anything. But, you know, I wake up every day with kind of this acronym at heart, HOPE. And I've heard it a lot on Clubhouse, help one person every day. I just, you know, I wake up with this desire to just help, to just give back, to serve. It's what brings me the most satisfaction. Look, I mean, I know what it's like. A lot of us do. I'm going to save you the violin story. A lot of us know what it's like to not have two pennies to rub together. I certainly do. What brought me the most joy then was giving back and helping others, seeing them start to make connections and start thriving in their own way. It's the same thing that brings me fulfillment today. Now that I've got more money than I ever thought as a teenager I would ever have, I'm not any more satisfied about money today than I was when I didn't have it. I'm most satisfied by just doing my part, you know? Like, I know that sounds super cheesy to the wrong audience, but they can go shove it.
Right. Yes.
You know, like for me, like I just, man, you know, it's about legacy for me. And I'm not trying to rip off like the Gary V's of the world, but I do think deeply. Okay. So I know a longer answer. I don't know how long this is supposed to go, but
we can do this for 5 hours if you want.
So here's why. So let me just take you down the Cirillo family tree here for a minute. My grandfather, Leonardo Flavio Cerello, he signed up for his mandatory 2-year service in the Italian military in 1937. They all have to do it. They have to do 2 years of mandatory service. So he goes, great. 1937, signs up, does his thing, enlists. He's like, I'm going to do my 2 years, and then I'm going to go back to the Italian countryside, and I'm going to marry my sweetheart. What happened in 2 years later, as he's getting ready to leave his mandatory 2-year service, World War II breaks out. He's enlisted, has to fight on the front lines for the entire duration of the war. He's a radio operator. I remember my grandfather. I remember him. I don't know if this is an Italian dude thing. Maybe it's us and our ethnic backgrounds, but he walked around with his shirt off all the time. Like, it was like he was perpetually working in the garden, you know? I remember seeing him walk down the hall once, and across his back were like 2 or 3 scars from a bayonet. Like, this dude was in it. And so during his service, he applied for a leave of absence several times to go and marry my grandmother. All of those times denied. He was persistent, though. And eventually, he was granted a leave of absence. And I have a photo of him taken on the morning that he was about to depart. It's with his platoon. And I can share the photo with you guys. You can post it if you want more. Like, people watching this want more context to the story. So I have a picture of my grandfather with his platoon the morning he gets his leave, and he's about to head back to the Italian countryside to go marry my grandmother. The next morning, every other person in his platoon was deployed to Russia, where they all perished. Every last one of them. Every last one of those faces that I see in that picture, except for my grandfather. And then after the war and a bunch of kids, there's 8 children. My father has 7 siblings. What do they do? He immigrates to Canada to create a better life. His entire life's purpose was to set up the next generation to have it just a little bit better than he had it. His entire life wasn't about how do I go make more money, or how do I get the latest technology, or what's this new thing called Clubhouse. His entire existence was to set up the next generation. And you know what? And he did. And I'm not going to suggest he's one of these stories that he came to Canada and all of a sudden he was a millionaire. No, when he retired, he was working as a custodian at a utility company's head office in Vancouver, British Columbia. Okay. Then my father took that and that fighting spirit, and he instilled in me, and so did my mother, but just kind of speaking through the Cirillo line specifically, he instilled in me this kind of, you want something? Go get it. it's yours. It already exists. I was not this typical kid going to school. Like, you see people on TikTok and they're driving their kids to school. And by the way, I'm not judging, but they're driving their kids to school and it's, you know, Kanye in the background. Right? I was listening to Brian Tracy. My dad had Brian Tracy cassettes and Bob Proctor. And it, like, I'm going to school thinking, you know, I'm in the fifth grade saying,
whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve.
You know, like I'm quoting frickin' Napoleon Hill. But I look at that and I think legacy, purpose. My parents, their entire existence up to this point, my father, who just retired, just celebrated his 68th birthday on the 15th of January. He worked his entire career to set up his children, me and my four sisters, so that we could have it just a little bit better than they do. So why do I wake up? Because I am fighting, striving to improve my condition so that I can love my neighbor as I love myself. In other words, set up my children to have it just a little bit better than I do, or maybe a lot better. And because I'm experiencing grace and I'm experiencing abundance, and I know where I came from, and that I'm like, come on, guys, you know, I'm not going to be in a Calvin Klein underwear commercial anytime soon. You know, come on, let's be serious here. The thing is, because I'm experiencing it and have experienced it, I want others to experience it too. It's like when you have Salt Bay just made you the best freaking steak and you want everyone to taste it because you can't believe how awesome it is. That's basically it. I want people to go, whoa. Like, I want people to tap into how you raised your children that your son would so selflessly serve for his country. Do you know what I mean? Something as good as we want to make him sound, man, that goes back to mom and dad some way, some shape, some form.
Yes.
Out of that, brother.
Wow. That is a powerful why. And that's why you are so the way you are and consistent. Folks, take note from that. What I can say is that you've got to really dig deep. And sometimes it's a simple why, but when you really dig deep into the simpleness of something, it really gets like complicated. But it's not really complicated. It's a purpose. It's love. What drives him is love. What drives him is love for everybody. He wants to make sure that we all enjoy life to the fullest. He was raised by people. His grandparents were immigrants that came over here. His father was having him listen to, like, growth, you know, motivational type stuff, and which is amazing. And a lot of people don't realize that as young adolescents and teenagers, I wasn't taught that way. My father was not the best with anything. But, you know, he was an army guy that got out, and then he blamed everything but himself. And I love my father. To this day, my father's... He raised me. He's a great man. I'm not putting down on my father. I'm just telling you that he did go through some tribulations too. And when he got done, he didn't really have, he taught me how to be a good father, as in like, love your child, right? Tell them you love them, show them you love them. But when it came to like educating me on being an adult, he was still a kid in his head in a way, in a lot of ways, you know? But he did. I mean, I love my son so much because the way my father loved me, there's no doubt about that. And, but I learned through mess ups of how to be better at credit, how to become a business person, how that I could become an entrepreneur, or how maybe I could be more than a hourly wage type person who could just go out, you know, and do something. There's so much more to this world. And if you love and you care, because the jobs we look for were jobs that most of the time, I just want to make money. That's like kind of how they raise you up through high school. What do you want to do when you're older? Well, what can I make money in? You know, that's what you're thinking, instead of what do I love to do and how money will come. It doesn't matter.
Right.
They won't teach you that. They scare you into, you need to make sure you go to college, or you need to find a technical school to go to, or you need to learn a trade really quick, you know, or you're not going to make it in this world. And, you know, and that's facts. So but that's not how it is. You can mess up multiple times. We as we're getting older, I'm in my 40s now, I find that no matter what, like I've messed up so many times, it's okay. It's all right. Life keeps going on, and you just keep moving.
That's my internal quantum realm. You know, like the movie Ant-Man, how they explore this never ending internal universe, like this ever expand. My quantum realm is what you just said. My love hate relationship with failure, and it never ends. It's constantly expanding inwards, not outwards. And what I mean by that is, I love So I hate the way failure feels in the moment, but I love what comes as a result. And that kind of keeps me running headfirst into more failure. And, you know, it's easy in the context of a podcast and stuff, as I'm sharing my thesis or as you guys are sharing your wisdom with me and it's edifying me, it's easy for the viewer to go, oh, well, yeah, they must think they've got it all figured out.
No, we are like
all of us, okay? This is what unifies the whole world. We are still winging it.
Yes.
With varying levels of experience. Like you guys, Lou, Fred, you guys have had different experiences than I've had. And that's why you are able to equally edify and enrich me as much as you think I might be able to do the same for you. I think you're a bunch of crazy people if you think that, but still, you know. But that's how this goes. I remember one year, actually for a couple of years, I was a youth camp counselor. And one of the activities that we would do to show how important unity and community is we'd get all these people, we'd get like 100 teenagers, you know, between 14 and 18 years old. We'd get them all to stand in a circle kind of facing each other. So I'd be facing the person in front of me back and so on and so forth. And that would continue in a circle. And then the one of the counselors in charge of this activity would say, all right, now everyone sit down. And everyone would sit down on the person behind them lap. And you had this full self-sustaining circle, like self-supporting circle. Oh, wow. And the object lesson was, we actually need each other. We all need to be united. That's how we support. That's how we all grow. That's how we sustain. That's how we take advantage of opportunities. And of course, you know, the funny object of it is somebody's legs would start getting weak and they'd start shaking and then they'd have to fall out of the circle. And then 100 kids would all fall to the ground at the same time because you took that one link. I feel so blessed, and man, like you guys, I'm feeling it too. I feel so blessed that we can just be one of those links in that circle.